Music, among other things.
Music among other things.
MAOT episode 20. Hope everyone's doing well. This is a festive edition of the usual show, where we are going to be chatting about some Christmas songs that came out in 2020. We get into our own family traditions, and we also pull up some videos from Christmas past, such as the famous Bing Crosby and David Bowie collab, which Neil watches for the first time, so wait around for his first reaction to that, and much more festive stuff. Really hope you guys enjoy and have a great Christmas despite the slightly strange circumstances this year. Thank you all so much for tuning in this year as well. Been really fun getting this podcast set up, and glad that you've been with us on the way. And we've already got some fantastic episodes lined up for 2021 already, which we can't wait to share with you. So keep tuning in and have a great Christmas and New Year for the time being. Links to songs and videos we discuss on the show are in description as always. Give us a like and subscribe, and have a good one, guys. Catch you in the new year. Cheers.
Neil, I think it'd be good to start this Christmas episode by talking about your dad's text exchanges in recent weeks.
Oh, okay.
What was the one you sent me? Yeah, I feel like, tell us what the date was on that. You know, the first one.
Oh God, I'll have to find it. So my dad's quite a blunt man, but he's a very strange guy as well. He sent me a text on the Sunday the 6th. So what's that, 3 Sundays ago? So being, dear, yeah. Neil and Sophie, I hope you don't mind no card this time, but this message, ? We can talk Christmas Eve all day. Love, Dad.
So one or the other, you can't have both.
It's really strange, like just almost warning me that there's not a card coming, but he could have just texted me on a day. I don't really understand.
What I love about it is that he probably still had a bit of a chance to get a card to you, but he's just like, no, I'm not going to bother with that.
And
then he's saying that, I hope this message is okay, as a Merry Christmas message. The message that's saying, I won't be delivering you a card. You know, he didn't actually say Merry Christmas at all in the exchange.
Yeah, and then what was the next funny text? So I was just asking if there's anything he wanted in particular for Christmas or anything. And he was like, no, you don't have to get me anything. And then 20 minutes, he replies to me again, being like, how about buying me Dido latest CD? Still on my mind. And then ... Just a thought.
What is Dido's latest?
It's called Still on My Mind. I don't know what it's like or what, but if you're listening, Dan, it's on its way.
Is it a greatest hits or is it
an actual new album? Yeah,
2019, Still on My Mind, fifth studio album by English singer Dido. Interesting. Yeah. So have you actually got that for him?
Yeah, I've got it for him alongside Taylor Swift as well, Folklore, because he's a big Taylor Swift fan from the old days, which are one of the rare things we've put in common. So I text him on a Sunday the 13th, so this is last week, I think, just being like, oh, how are you, getting up to anything this weekend? And he annoyingly replied, not a lot, Christmas cards driving me nuts, more emails next year. So he is sending Christmas cards out. He's sending them
out. But just
out.
Not he to just, his son.
Yeah, and then that's when he texts me after that, because I didn't reply, saying, getting closer to Christmas, so Merry Christmas to Sophie and yourself. And at the end of like, at the end of that, what would you like, gift or money? Strange, man. Really, yeah, very strange, but... yeah, I'm excited to see what he'll send me on Christmas.
Yeah, you'll have to keep us in the loop.
Yeah.
I think, what goes down in the Sturges household on Christmas Day, Rich?
You've experienced it firsthand, mate.
I remember, 1 year, yeah.
Boxing Day.
That's right. And that's where your dad comes up with a load of games, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's done it for years. You'll just think of these random games. Like, for example, he collect a load of Coke cans over like the 2 months coming up to Christmas. And then you'd have to have like, you'd have a partner, so say it was like me and Sean, and we would have to have a piece of dry spaghetti held each end in our mouths with the Coke can hanging on the middle, and you have to like take it from one table to the other table.
What?
Yeah.
It's not exactly a COVID safe game. Probably out the window this year.
No, you get the prizes though, and I remember you and Ben came round and I got all the crap prizes, and Ben went home with a bloody Stevie Wonder CD.
Like, yeah, what? It's like Greatest Hits. That's right. God, yeah, I remember that year. Yeah, I think that's quite a nice little tradition to have though, do you know what I mean? As in creating all these games and stuff. Does he legit like create them from scratch? Like, he's up deep into the night with blueprints.
He used to, and he used to come up with these games that everyone just thought, like, he would try and explain it. And he's also a bit dyslexic and he can't write properly, so he's written all this stuff down, can't read what he's written, so like the instructions of the game make no sense and no one can really get it. Mental. One year I've got a video somewhere, I swear, and he's sitting at one end of the table, we're all on the other end, and he's behind this like piece of cardboard with his bass. He can't really play bass, but he's like trying to like play bass lines from songs, and we have to guess what song it is. He's playing it and it didn't sound like anything, so no one was guessing anything.
What I love is that I can imagine him starting this tradition like ages ago when you guys are just at a loose end or something, and then 28 years later he's rummaging just trying to create something out of dust. He's like, oh, for God's sake, this tradition's gone on far too long.
Yeah,
literally, yeah, that's what he's going to come to.
Bless him.
Oh, doing it himself every year. That's amazing. That's quite a creative approach, I think, to the holiday season.
What's your dad's name?
Richard.
What, Richard? Really? So you're Rich Jr.?
I'm Richard III.
After the king.
Love it.
What was Richard III's fate? Was he like a tragic sort of figure, or?
He was the one that got. He was the one that we went to go and see that Shakespeare play, Sean.
Oh, that's right.
He's the one that gets stabbed up in the clock tower, I think.
We wouldn't be able to tell you otherwise, because we were like, we just didn't understand any of it.
Yeah, no.
It's also confusing for you, Ryan, because I told you that Martin Freeman was in it, but you thought it was Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
So he's expecting Morgan Freeman to come out, and he doesn't come out, but Tim from The Office and John Watson comes out. So it's like a double shock. Do you know what I mean?
I was like, oh, God, this doesn't make names. When's Morgan turning up?
What about the Smith household, Ryan? What goes on? What's any traditions around there?
Absolutely naff all, Sean. I think the only thing that we do as a tradition is drink Buck's Fizz in the morning. It's pretty much it. And then we have
all in separate rooms.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Well, normally, obviously we can't this year, but normally I go and see my nan and granddad. But obviously I'd love to have gone and seen them, but I always get stuck with sleeping in the front room in their flat. And obviously as my grandparents are pretty ancient now, they tend to have lost the sort of ability to monitor how hot the heating should be. So I was sleeping in the front room with an electric fire on about a foot away from my face. Couldn't turn it off. Didn't know where the plug was. Literally, the wire went on for ages. I think it's plugged in the hallway somewhere. Of course it is. And my nan, obviously, for some reason, has collected clocks over the years, and she's got about 13 different clocks in the front room, and they all tick at different paces.
I love that.
So yeah, that was good. That was a nice way to be driven insane last year. So just a nice quiet Christmas this year.
Woke up like seriously bronzed.
Oh yeah, oh, cold. Absolutely, 3rd degree burns. I look like Frodo after in Mount Doom, whatever his name was.
It's done.
It's done. We tend to do the same thing with the Buck's Fizz. We usually have like a salmon bagel, and then recent years anyway, we've been watching that Bing Crosby and David Bowie Little Drummer Boy. Have you guys seen that?
Every year?
Most Christmases, yeah, we stick it on.
Why that one in particular?
So. I don't know. It just started one year and then we were like, start it so we finish. we just carried on with it, basically. But, yeah, have you guys seen it?
Yeah. You haven't seen it, Neil?
No.
Still, let's throw it on. I'll put it on the WhatsApp group and in the old chat.
Looks like Noel's house party.
Great haircut. I was thinking about getting a mullet. I think my face is too flat, though.
Yeah, Bowie can put it off, definitely.
That is a god-awful tree in the background.
A lot of tinsel.
Is that tinsel?
And tangerine. It looks like a cat's had a fight with the tinsel, and they've left it on there.
It's like the cat's eating the tinsel and throwing it up on the tree.
I like that he's got a Slazenger jacket on.
I think that's a tight look, to be fair.
Straight to the golf course after this shit.
Yeah, I feel like he's definitely a golf guy. I don't think Bowie was. He's probably more of a acid house guy.
Bing, he looks like his arm's going to just come off with a golf club if he swing.
He actually died, I think, about a month after this.
Well, there you go then.
What, was it a golfing accident? What do you mean, there you go then?
Yeah, I know. Anyone else find those little lines of lead in windows really annoying? Yeah, like, you can't even see out of the window. I bet there's a really nice view out there as well.
It's a bit like jail bar, sort of.
You say right, it's going to be a nice view, Rich, but it's a set.
No. This is probably a castle.
Not definitely.
So, Neil, just for your context as well, at the time, Bowie was like in the peak of his like creative period. He wrote an album called Heroes, which was part of the Berlin trilogy. So it was like proper out there. Mm. So him doing something as mainstream as this with Bing Crosby.
Oh, really?
Seemed okay. Really, really odd to like the Bowie fan base and people in general, I think.
Okay.
Actually, that links into what my dad's opinion of this song is, who is obviously a very big Bowie fan. He hates this song.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he feel like he sold out or something?
I don't know if you... Well, you have met my dad, Sean. He doesn't give anything apart other than that shit. Well, that's good. No reasons.
The thing is, though, from what I know, Bowie did this a lot for his kids, Duncan Jones, who was probably like really young at the time. Could he mention his son at the start of it? He actually put out, Duncan Jones, his son, actually just put out a tweet talking about this. I'm trying to find it, actually.
Do you reckon Bing liked Dave?
Yeah, I think he... I'm going to try and find a quote, actually. But I don't know if you heard it at the beginning, but he was like, what do you think? Do you listen to, you know, current music? Oh, and then yeah. Bing's like, oh, it's marvelous. Some of it mighty fine. I feel like Bowie should have put that on the back of his Heroes. Like, you know, just like the critics quote, some of it mighty fine.
So this geese has walked into this household, told him that his neighbour doesn't normally let him use the piano, but he wants to use it when he's not around. And the bloke's gone, fine, come in, let's sing a song together.
Yeah. That's ugly. Serendipitous, isn't it? That's what the 70s were all about, going around to people's houses and singing songs with strangers. I think that's the way it worked, pretty much.
I just wouldn't have the guts to ask someone to sing with me who I've never met, but they're in the middle of my house.
Yeah, it's pretty ballsy of Bing. But to be fair, he was in his later days, so he probably just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it's sort of an odd thing to do. What were your did you enjoy that, Neil? As in, did it make you feel Christmassy at all? I know you said you weren't feeling too Christmassy right now.
No, it's all right.
I found a quote on from Crosby saying, talking about Bowie, and he's like, yeah, he's a clean cut kid and a real fine asset to the show. He sings well, has a great voice, and reads lines well. which is sort of a, I don't know if that's praise or not, but it's quite a nice thing to say, I guess. Like, I think he had, he reads lines well. Like, it's just like the word okay, like no actual opinion.
Yeah.
But I think he used to have a Christmas show every year, which is why he's saying like he's a fine asset to the show. But maybe think about another thing, because I don't know if you've seen it, but Bowie did the intro to The Snowman in the 80s. And I think the story is that it came out in the UK, it won an Oscar, and then they re-released it in the US, but they wanted like a famous face at the start of it. I think they were talking about giving it to Mick Jagger, but Bowie really loved The Snowman. And there's a intro sequence where he has the scarf on, and he's basically playing the boy, but as like a 35-year-old, to just doing the intro to the thing. And I was thinking it would make a lot of sense if Bowie was that kid. Do you know what I mean? You'd be pretty fucked up after that trip, as in being taken away on Christmas Eve night to the North Pole with a flying snowman and stuff.
What, so are you saying David Bowie sung that song or not? He was just acting in it?
Well, in the snow, no, it's like an intro. Hold on, I'll share the, it's only like a minute.
I can imagine him just singing, being like, I'm walking in here.
With walking in the air.
Oh, you've shown me this before, yeah. Every chap we went to school with had that bleach hair, didn't they?
Yeah.
At one point.
Didn't know Bowie led the trend for the that world.
I know.
He gave me this scarf, you see. He was a real snowman.
The snowman's a proper depressing piece of music, isn't it?
Oh, this actually makes me really, yeah, like, it makes me quite sad, but like
it's quite a nice melancholic feeling.
It's actually beautiful.
Yeah. I love it, man. I think I don't know if you guys have heard the whole thing, but Orlando Weeks from the Maccabees brought out that album The Grist Man with Paul Whitehouse, and he basically did the illustrations for it, and it was a story about a grist man on his last night of the job. And there's an album that's accompanied to book, and it has songs in between, basically. And then you've got Paul Whitehouse reading it. But that's a really amazing piece of work, I think.
So good.
Oh, what is it? What's the name of it?
It's called The Gritter Man.
The Gritter Man?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said the Gristle Man.
The Gristle Man, yeah. I come and I take the gristle out of your...
Yeah, I get it.
It is very good.
We did have a guy knock on the door recently, and he's like, "Hello, I'm the Gusser Man." And there's a really beautiful song on the Gritter Man called, I think it's called Seasonal Hero, and he says like the word Gritter Man, but you can just imagine it being traded for Gusser Man having like a completely different effect. But I think it's quite cool that Bowie was obviously into Christmas a bit. Obviously, I think he had a kid when he was like 23. So when he was going through his mad years, he had like a child and stuff. Duncan Jones, obviously, but I know he had that like soft side to him, even though he was perceived as this wild sort of guy.
Mm.
But
I'd love it if Orlando Weeks made like a kind of a film out of that album, into like illustrations and stuff. But it would be pretty long, wouldn't it, I guess.
I saw he was doing like a question and answer thing on Instagram the other day about The Gritter Man. I don't know if you saw it.
Mm.
I think someone asked if it's going to be a film.
Really?
I think he said, I'm pretty sure they did, and he said, yeah, he'd love to.
But it's a lot of hard work or something.
Yeah.
Where do you guys stand on Christmas songs? Do you like Christmas songs, or do you tend to avoid listening to them?
I like them up to a certain year. I feel like, well, do you know what? In the last couple of years, there's been a couple of good ones come out from like smaller artists. In terms of like mainstream,
yeah,
I think for me the cutoff was like, remember when The Darkness did that Christmas tune?
Yeah.
I think that was a decent one. And after that, it just went downhill.
Yeah. Because I think, I don't know, because they weren't taking themselves too seriously either, That's what makes it funner. You can't really do a Christmas song and have a really sincere one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're always going to look a bit of a knob, I think, if you do that. But yeah. we watched a video for that yesterday, which was pretty wild. But what about you, Neil?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit hit or miss. I prefer the more lesser known ones, I guess. I say lesser known, but the more like alternative ones out there. Like I've been listening to the Killers Christmas songs and stuff, and I really like those. Like Don't Shoot Me Santa and stuff. In terms of the mainstream old ones, like I do get pretty fed up with them, to be fair, because it's like come on, man, like just.
Well, even like the 80s.
I don't mind them. It's just like you just hear them everywhere you go, and it's kind of. I do kind of dread them coming on, like the proper like Wham, Last Christmas and stuff like that, like the proper old ones. I'm not saying they're not good songs, but for me personally, it's just a tad overplayed. But I do like the kind of more indie alternative Christmas songs out there. Yeah. I like War Is Over. War Is Over is my favourite.
But Yoko just seems to just need her to be a bit quieter in that one. She's fine. Macca's one is pretty good, actually. Forgot about that one. Macca's one's pretty good.
What Wonderful Christmas Time.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I think that's my favourite.
Yeah, it's a good tune.
I like that one.
Have you heard this synth on it? And it's the synthesizer. It just sounds like a 5-year-old just whacking it.
Yeah, I think that was. I think it was actually done around McCartney 2, which was when he was like. I think he had first access to synthesizers and stuff, so. It was almost like he didn't actually know what he was doing too much, which is why it has that vibe to it, which I love, though. I think it's a great Christmas song. Well, if people are sick of the standard Christmas songs, then what we're going to do is we're going to talk about 5 different Christmas songs that have come out this year. I presume the reason we've had more Christmas songs this year is because people are locked down, maybe bored and like, oh, yeah, maybe I can just pop out a Christmas song. So what we do, we'll listen to 5 of these and then we'll give them a rating and then we'll take it from there. This is Phoebe Bridgers.
I only really discovered Phoebe Bridgers this year, and Motion Sickness is one of my favourite songs at the minute.
Yeah, she's great, man.
Ooh.
Really great. Ooh. A little melancholic, this one, I think.
No, I actually do really like that Taylor Swift song, Lover. But then I'm a big Taylor fan.
This isn't Taylor.
What made you say that?
Because it's a Christmas song.
Oh, right.
Oh, she says something about leaving the Christmas lights up till January, don't she?
Yeah, which I was thinking about. That is not fucking weird. Me and Soph were talking about this because it came on my Spotify and it was like, we can leave the Christmas lights until January. I was like, yeah, that's who doesn't? Who's going to take their Christmas lights off on like New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, yeah, a bit of New Year's Eve admin.
Yes.
If I was in power here, I'd have it as law that they'd come down on the 27th. Honestly, I've got this plan. I'm going to go to Dragon's Den. I'm going to say to them that we need to repurpose the bin men. We need to put giant Hoovers either side and have them drive up and down the roads and just
suck off like the Grinch.
Of their Christmas lights.
Nah, that sounds like a job for the gutter man.
Well, yeah.
Hello. I'm 27th at like 1 minute past midnight. Hello. I'm the gutter man.
You got any fucking lights still up?
You haven't, have you? Yeah. What are your thoughts on this track, guys? It's quite a nice little melancholic...
Yeah, it's fine.
A bit sad again.
I'm not going to remember it after it's cool.
I feel like people need a bit of escapism this year rather than, you know, embracing the darkness.
Yeah, it's a nice tune, but...
I quite enjoy it. It's very somber, but I quite enjoy it.
A bit John Lewis, isn't it?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't put it on again.
It's sort of that wispy indie song, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you often see. So, Well, let's. I'm trying to think of an Instagram friendly Sprout rating, or like you know, something you could do with emojis. Can you have? Is there Sprout emojis?
Sprout? I don't think so. Is there?
What do you mean? Oh, okay. So,
as in to give it like a racing but a Christmas theme.
One, two, three, four, five out of five sprouts. Sort of.
Maybe just do it like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, hang on. Why are you going for Sprout? Why don't you just go for something actually Christmas?
Sean, he's trying to be all Phoebe Bridges and indie.
Trying to be a bit out there, man. All right, let's go around it. So, Neil, how many Christmas trees out of five?
Three.
Rich?
Yeah, I'll give it a three.
Ryan?
The thing is, if you go four, that four is a high benchmark. There's a big difference between three and four.
Just answer the fucking question.
Well, I'll go for three then.
All right, three.
I really thought it was going to go four, to be fair. I wish I listened to the explanation.
I'm going three as well, and that gives us a good average, if I'm not correct, of three.
Good maths there, Sean. Stunning.
Thank you. So, let's jump on to the next one.
Right.
Woody J. Healy, friend of the show. Our boy Woody J. We have a song called Merry Christmas.
Good night. Good start.
Three, two, one.
He proper reminds me of someone here.
It's a bit Lennon-y.
It sounds like Imagine.
Mm. He's big into the 70s stuff, don't he? Like he was talking about with us.
There's still something a bit dark about it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
It's quite nice. This is a good one. I like this.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I like the vibe of it.
Ryan sounds positive.
Aye.
Christ.
It's very sort of Abbey Roadie vibe.
Like John Lennon, yeah.
Bloody hell. It sounds like the Beatles, boys.
Mm. What was that voice?
A good voice, anyhow, Bill.
I quite like the sentiment of this song, though. Yeah, I think it's nice as well, like the Santa Claus is a lady, works in aisle 10. Shout out to all the people working over Christmas.
Yeah, well done, everyone.
And women.
Strange.
What are your thoughts on that one, guys? I really like that one. What would you give that out of five, Ryan?
I'd give it a good four, that.
Rich?
I would give it a good four, that.
Neil?
I'll say three and a half.
Oh, no, Neil. We're not introducing half here. You can't have a half.
No. Trees can be cut in half.
Yeah, I'm going three and a half.
Three and a half, yeah?
Yeah.
In that case, just so the average is a bit easier, I'll give it 4.5.
Oh, for God's sake. What's the point of me saying half?
It's going to do some live maths here. 4 plus 4 plus 3.5 plus 4.5.
This is good listening.
14.
This is class.
Divided by 4.
This is what the people want this time of year.
Three and a half. Is that right? Well, that's the average of 3.5. You really brought the vibe down there, Neil.
How is it three and a half? How is that the average? Your math, Sean.
4 plus 4.
It's obviously
3.5. That's 4.5. Oh, actually, no, I fucked up.
It's 4.
You expect people to listen to an average being made, and you got it wrong.
Oh, yeah, let me guess. Short edit, so I'm sure this won't make the final cut, will it?
I'll edit it to make me look like a genius, and you all fools of mine. No, it's 4. So, 4 Chris 3 out of 5, pretty good going, that.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Well done, Bill.
All right. Next one we're going to do is Liam Gallagher, All You're Dreaming Of. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, something like dusting.
Great one.
Someone's been making a... That's the same font as George Harrison, isn't it?
Looks like Ringo there. Do you not think he looks like Ringo?
He's dyed his hair.
It's in black and white. How can you tell?
Yeah, but grey is a part of a monochrome, Sean, and he hasn't got any grey.
It's weird to see him out of a parka, isn't it? Like, he's in a nice little shirt.
Well, it's Christmas.
Actually, there's a lot of Lennon-style songs, isn't there, in this five that we're talking about. Well, the Willie J. Healy one's the only other one, but still, 2 out of 5. And if my math serves me correct, that's a minority. Very dramatic video.
He loves a walk, doesn't he? Does like a walk.
I actually saw him outside my work, and I noticed the walk first, and I was like, I didn't even see his face. I was like, that's definitely Liam Gallagher.
So you don't even know who it is?
No, it was. It was like my mate ran out and went to chat to him. And he instantly just started talking about the fact that he goes to like acupuncture or something, but he takes a load of space cakes beforehand. So he just sits there tripping. He's like, yeah, I've got arthritis. And stuff. He didn't even ask him about it. He just started sort of delivering a monologue. Great guy. I do think he's got like a nice spirit, do you know what I mean, Liam?
He's sort of got off of the I'm the greatest thing in the whole world train.
Yeah.
And he's just enjoying himself now rather than being the lead man of Oasis.
Yeah, but I bet if you said that to him, Ryan, he'd just go, oh, I am the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fair enough, mate. That's your opinion. I think you're pretty good. I wouldn't say you're best in the world, but
get a smack.
The thing is, whenever the Gallaghers did say anything that could be deemed quite obnoxious or whatever, they were usually right about it because they'd be like, yeah, we sold like 500 million albums and, you know, I don't know. It was always like warranted, I think. But yeah, he has mellowed out a lot though, Liam.
His, what is it, 70 questions or whatever it is.
That's the Vogue one.
Yeah, the Vogue one's class.
Because usually they probably like rehearse it or something, but you can just
he
tell.
Does, hang on a minute. He does love a phrase, doesn't he? He loves a phrase. It doesn't this really mean much. This is not here.
I've seen that somewhere before. Where have I seen that? This is not here. That is.
That's not famous. A Lennon thing, is it?
I think it is. I think it was in that documentary, that Yoko documentary, I swear.
Yeah, it is. Well, I've got John Lennon.
Yeah, the Yoko Museum. Remember they set up that museum?
There we are.
Yeah, no, it is. I just searched it.
Don't really mean much, though, does it?
This is not it.
This is not
it. Might as well put Mash's Violence.
Love
that. Mash's Violence is a genuine quote from Liam, though.
Yeah.
I think it was on the Noisy interview, and at the end of the interview it was just like, I've always wanted to ask you this, but how do you cook potatoes? And he's just like, I can't, what is it he said, right?
He says and then puts them in the oven. He says, and then he goes, I've never cooked a potato in my life. And then he goes, then like Mash, he goes, no, Mash is violence. And then our friend's brother got it henna tattooed onto his forearm before we went to go and see him.
Oh, that's right. What do you guys think of the song?
I didn't like it.
Average.
Didn't like it. What was lacking for you, Richard?
Again, it's just a bit dreary, and I don't think his voice carries well on a dreary tune. He's a bit whiny. Yeah. I don't know. He's not a ballad man.
So how many Christmas trees?
2.5.
What did he give him?
2.5.
Jar!
Jar!
Sorry.
What about you, Neil?
I'll give him 3. Just because there's a lot more shit out there, but I guess I listened to it to the end, so it's fine. For sure, it's got a gun to my head.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3. It was pleasant.
I'm going to go for 3 as well. I think it's got, again, it's got a nice sentiment, you know. I think it's, I don't know. I think it's a nice tune to listen to at Christmas time. The average we've got between us anyway is 2.875 Christmas trees out of 5.
See what you've done, Rich.
That's what I wanted. Get him down.
Pretty good.
Not as good as Phoebe. Nowhere near Bill.
Fine.
I think, did you say Bill?
I've been calling him Bill. He said his name was going to be, remember we asked him what name was going to be, and it was like, I can't remember, Dirty Bill.
Oh yeah, Dirty Bill. Yeah, something like that, wasn't it? All right, next one we're going to listen to is Blossoms, Christmas Eve, in brackets, Soul Purpose.
Soul Purpose? What's this Soul Purpose about then?
Wait a sec.
I can only listen to this for one purpose. Like, this will not be sold in a multi-pack.
Another dip into the comments section. It just says, thanks for having me, lads. Lloyd / Roy.
Well, who are you then? Are you Lloyd or are you Roy?
What do you mean? Where has he been had?
You guys ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Sleigh bells going there.
Nice little melody, that.
Yeah, this is more Christmassy. Still not like party time. It's still a bit slightly melancholic, but it's just got a bit more. Yeah.
I think, this is like in a kind of, not a sitcom, but like a program, Christmas Eve, and it's like a montage showing everyone wrapping their presents and like making last minute shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great shout.
It's a bit of a throwback, isn't it? Adding the sound.
VH1 top 50 Christmas tunes, this will be like a solid 36.
Say if a Christmas tune was so popular, right, one of these new ones really took off, like it was huge, do you think they would play it in a live gig in the summer, or is that just unheard of? But Mariah Carey, does she play All I Want for Christmas at her gigs?
That's a good question. There's something about her doing an interview in September this year, and she already had a Christmas tree up. So she's the sort of person who you could imagine maybe dropping a Christmas song in like August. Oh, nice bells.
It's all right. I was getting, by the second verse, I was sort of dropping off a bit, but I'm getting back into it now.
It's back. Yes, yeah, quite a nice, you know, warm vocals, isn't it?
I feel like I could definitely do something else while I'm listening to this. I could probably concentrate on, you know, my salmon bagel.
Yeah, that's what you want from a Christmas song, just focus.
Tasty little guitar parts coming out. Oh, bit of clapping in the background. That's like top of the pops from the old 70s there. Yeah, fair play.
That is cliche, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what people want this time of year, Richard. I don't know if you noticed, but people love a cliche at this time of year.
People love a round of applause, don't they?
Oh, I love a round of applause.
Just having a look on at Mariah Carey's set list from over the past few years. I can't see that she's played any Christmas songs. She did a stint, it seems, in Las Vegas.
Of course she did.
But she did not play All I Want for Christmas this year, and this was in like February.
Oh, February would be the worst time to whack out a Christmas song at a gig. Everyone would be going, yeah, out.
I seem to remember seeing Blossoms at Glastonbury or something, and they did Last Christmas or like a couple of bars of it, if I remember.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that cover.
But yeah, I don't think Mariah Carey did, but she's got some amazing tunes, to be fair, so she could probably do without it for the rest of the year. So what do you think of the Blossoms tune then, guys?
I like it, actually. I'm quite a harsh critic. Like, I'll never give 5 stars, but I'd give it 4. Trees, you prick.
Thank you.
I think there's a pattern emerging where it's like this year we're actually after the more upbeat stuff rather than the melancholic. Do you know what I mean? We weren't really into the Liam one as much or the Phoebe Bridges one.
Yeah.
You just want to get escapism, innit?
Yeah, I don't mind like melancholy and stuff. But I think it's more just everything. It seems like a lot of albums that have come out this year have gone down that vibe anyway. So yeah, there's nothing like separating it from a Christmas song. Whereas that sounded quite jolly.
Yeah.
Surely the John Lewis adverts have swayed people's decisions on what sort of song to write for Christmas. They're going to make a big fuck if they get on one of those adverts, isn't they?
Yeah.
I think I was watching the Wizard music video. I was saying that they definitely didn't film it in December. So I reckon they probably filmed that in the hottest day in July. all prancing around with tinsel around.
It's usually the way, isn't it? Yeah. I'd feel that that would be weird to me. I wouldn't like that.
It happens quite a lot, doesn't it? Like, EastEnders film their Christmas episodes in April or something ridiculous.
Is anyone watching EastEnders at the moment?
Nah.
Mate, I've never been an EastEnders fan, but my God, I'm in it now.
Really?
Yeah, Ian Bill is potentially going to die.
He's outlasted every major gangster that's turned up in the square.
He's mortgaging his mum's calf off without her knowing. He's Nick Paul's missing. He's with Sharon now.
How many Christmas trees out of five?
I'm giving out a four.
Neil, you said four as well, right?
I said four, yes.
Ryan?
Yeah, four. Keep it easy.
I'm going four as well. So that, if my calculation is correct, four. divided by four. That's four. Yeah. Four Christmas trees out of five. Pretty good going there, Blossoms. I think that's been the sort of most we've agreed on.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
There's one more left.
Next one we're going to do is 100 Gex Sympathy for the Grinch. Do you know anything about 100 Gex? Because I'm actually not too caught up with them.
No, I've never heard of them.
100. Yeah. What's a Gex?
That looks like George Ford.
From what I know, 100 Gex are one of those bands that people love or hate. From what I know, anyway.
Right. Well, then it's going to definitely divide us.
When are they from?
I think they're American.
Just quickly before we start, just a little dip into the comment section. This song slaps.
slaps good though, isn't it?
I think so.
I think it's good.
It could be good.
It's one of those where it could go either way. There's sort of different meanings. Yes, they're from St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, they're a duo made up of Dylan Bradley and Laura Lez. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1. So this is a video from Atlantic Records, and they've done like a George Ford fireplace sort of vibe.
I mean, I already have my doubts when they spelt four with the number. I hate that. It's one of my pet peeves, but...
It's always a bad sign, isn't it?
It sounds like Blink-182 on Helium.
Yeah, it's like Blink-182 at like double speed.
It's like if they made a children's version, like a five-year-old version of Crazy Taxi, this would be the theme tune.
Oh, nice sleigh bells there.
And the use of auto-tune is always costing them at least two possibly three trees,
Christ.
In my opinion.
There's a lot going on here, isn't there?
This is going to be big with the kids, though, huh?
I've got it on mute and I'm just watching the fire.
We should have got George Ford to critique the fireplace when he was on episode 18, available to listen to now.
Can I turn this off now? I just didn't have so much like helium processing done on it, and it was actually Blink 182. Nah, I'd still hate it.
you know, like, on YouTube, they do those like half speed videos. Imagine if they did slow it down. It was actually Blink-182. That'd be a revelation. Yeah, that was a bit intense. That one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just looking into the lyrics a bit because I couldn't really hear what they were saying. But on Genius, it says "Sympathy for the Grinch." It's a song about taking revenge on Santa Claus after being overlooked by him. The title refers to Dr. Zeus the Grinch. Blah blah. Gex expressed the same hate for Christmas after being ignored by a fat freak crawling down young children's chimneys, and who can blame them? This is a quote from Blue Sorcerer on Genius. I guess Sympathy for the Grinch is like, you know, like the stone Sympathy for the Devil, which is a nice little nod.
I think the main point from where I just cut in is that I'm not going to look into the lyrics of the song.
It hasn't. I know you're a big lyrics guy, and I am to a certain degree, but I don't think this has really earned that for me. So can we just cut the chase? One lonely tree.
One lonely tree from Neil. Richard, what are your thoughts, and what's your Christmas tree rating?
One tree, not very good, not very Christmassy. I'm out.
Dragon's Den style. What about you, Ryan?
Half a tree, mate.
Half a tree.
Actually, that's a bit harsh because these people have gone out and tried to make it work. One tree.
Right, one tree. I'm going to give it two trees because I like the reference to the Rolling Stones. That was it. So if I just do a bit of slick maths here.
But you just ruined the average for yourself.
Five divided by four, 1.25 trees. Well, there we are. So there's some new songs that you can check out for 2020 anyway. Anyway, guys, we better wrap up. Been quite a rambly episode, but it's been a great year for MEOT pods. Any highlights in particular, Neil? I feel like Ford was your favorite app.
Yeah, I feel George Ford was a real personal highlight for me. I think we could all take a leaf out of his book and just be more Ford.
Exactly. Be more Ford. Be more Ford. Rich, how about you, mate? What's your reflection on this year on MEOT?
I've loved it, mate. It's got me through a lovely lockdown year and thoroughly enjoyed. I liked the episode with Willie J. Healy, especially. He was a lovely bloke, wasn't he?
That was a fun one, yeah. I think that's the main thing with this. It's been like an excuse to hop on the old mic with a few pals and just chew the fat. How about you, Ryan?
I'll be honest with you, Sean. I'm really enjoying this moment. This moment is making me really happy. Just talking to my friend.
Well, that's good to hear. And hopefully we feel all cuddly and warm inside. Cool. Well, thanks, guys. That was a rambly but fun conversation. And we'll see y'all in the new year. Have a great Christmas. And yeah, peace and love.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Yes, see you.
And there we have it. Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Hope you all enjoyed. I'm just going to leave you with a clip from our conversation with Willie J. Healy from episode 10, which you can re-listen to by scrolling back. You can also listen to our festive chat with George Ford, who's the guy behind the Netflix Fireplace. That's a really inspiring story behind that one, so thoroughly recommend you check that out. Give us a like and subscribe. Hope you have a great Christmas, and we'll see you in the new year. Thanks, guys.
MAOT.
It's the first time I've really had a producer on board in a big way, and you know, I really collaborated with the band as well, and I think it's benefited from that. And the way we had all of our equipment set up was how the Beatles set up for Abbey Road, you know, things like that. Not even just the tape, it was like the microphones he was using. Like, Lauren's so specific about the details of, like, you know, when the Beatles did the White Album, this is the microphone they used for John Lennon's vocals and things like that. We realized after 4 days of recording that the microphone we had put on the bass amp had fallen off the stand and was effectively like pointing like in the opposite direction. And we put it back to where it should have been and it just didn't sound as cool. So we ended up like leaving the bass mic somewhere in the middle of the room.